Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shellcottage Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Friendly Tech Wizard, the former captain of the Hufflepuff Quidditch team, the Flannel Wizard, yours truly, Mama Me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Blur.
Mama Mia, here we go again.
Mama Mia.
I'm not going to sing that, though.
Aw, you could have just...
No, I was getting nervous.
Sing it for us.
No.
I actually don't know how it goes. I don't think I've ever seen Mamma Mia.
Here we go again.
I've only seen like clips. We should watch it sometime. Yeah. Why did this come to your mind?
Because you said Mamma Mia and I thought Mamma Mia.
Oh, sorry. I'll see.
That was actually a
the things they start. Don't even realize it.
Sorry, that was I watched the original, not original, but the German version of the musical with my mom. That was really cool.
Aww.
I think it was around one Christmas or New Year's, and we just her and I, went together, and
that's sweet.
It was really, really nice. Yeah. So, schön, dass ihr da seid. Willkommen zurück to our little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Come on in. This is the 27th episode of Shell Cottage Radio, in which we will continue our reread with the first two chapters of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, The Worst Birthday and Dobby's Warning. Before we fire up today's discussion, we will start with a bit of the latest cottage ketchup. Ketchup? Ketchup? Do you have some ketchup?
Do we have any, let me think.
Let's produce some ketchup here real quick.
Yeah, go ahead and cut those tomatoes and mash them up with your feet while you're at it. Get after it. I'm not trying to think.
It's Sunday, and our brain always shuts down on Sundays. So we don't even remember what we did yesterday. Oh, well, we do remember what we did yesterday. It was such a good experience.
We've actually recorded a few things out of order, so you will be hearing in the future some special guests, actually. So that's what we've been doing, I guess.
Yeah.
In terms of cottage ketchup, this whole past week we've been recording extra episodes. Yeah.
We had our first snow yesterday. That was beautiful.
There we go.
First snow. And that's not the first snow this year, but this school year.
First snow ever.
First snow ever. Unfortunately, it didn't stick. But
yeah. But it was great, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was so beautiful. It was perfect to just snuggle up and have a warm cup of tea or coffee.
Yeah, we went on a long walk, too. We went and got some food from our favorite breakfast place.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one
Shout
of our favorite.
Shout out to the station.
Yeah, so
we
that was
to
cool.
Take Dad.
Yeah, we
next,
need to.
Next weekend. But otherwise, how are you doing, sweetie? Are you feeling good?
I'm great. I'm feeling good. There's been a relaxful weekend, which is nice. We've got like a couple more weeks until Thanksgiving, Turkey Day, until we get a little break-a-rooski. And then after that, we come back and I've got like 3 weeks of school and then Christmas break. That's how we do it here in the United States of America. All right?
Oh my gosh.
We hit you with Halloween, then Thanksgiving, and then Christmas. Oh, and you thought we were done? Happy New Year.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So...
It's awesome.
We really.
I just thought about something.
What's that? Wait, would you?
We should do like a 1 week of, you know, the week of Thanksgiving. We should do like a turkey challenge.
Oh, okay.
You know, like with our, we should like do something turkey challenge and post one workout every day, to you know. Work for the turkey.
I'm down. Yeah. I'm down for that
and
because we definitely need to.
Our listeners and followers on Instagram are going to hold us accountable. And if you want to join in, let's go. Even if it's just a 20-minute workout every day, let's do a turkey challenge.
Let's do it.
Let's come up with a cool name for that.
So, yeah.
The Tri-Wizard Turkey Challenge.
Whoa.
How about that?
But there's more than three wizards invited, so...
Okay.
Yeah, we'll think of something. We'll post it on our Instagram. Make sure you follow Fleur and Bill.
Hey, if you have any ideas, any cool ideas, let us know.
Yeah.
Any cool workout routines? Any cool workouts that you want to share with us?
A challenge of some kind. Yeah,
yes.
Something.
We need a challenge.
I feel like I'm challenged enough, you know? What if somebody was like, you guys have to work out twice a day, morning and night?
I'd do it.
Okay, let's...
I did that when I was on the swim team. We had swim practice before
Well, let's
after
go.
School.
What are we doing? We should do it.
I know.
You want to go swimming in a lake? In the cold?
Maybe in a pool.
They say it's good for
indoor.
You. Okay.
I know, but you have to kind of ease into it, like train your body so it can handle the cold.
What if a zombie apocalypse happened and we had to get out there and swim across the lake to survive?
Jump in and hope I don't die from a heart attack.
Okay. Anyway, all right. Well, there we go. We conjured up some ketchup.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good, actually. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Spontaneous ketchup making. I'll say cooking, but you don't cook ketchup. Oh, yes, you do.
I don't have a clue.
Do you have to cook tomatoes to produce ketchup? I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
You used like tomato concentrate or something. You have to cook that. Anyways, let's dive right into the two trivia questions. We could call it turkey trivia. Okay. That's a dumb name. Ez is looking at me.
I don't
like,
know what's going on.
Oh my gosh, just cut to the point. That's
you
exactly what he
said. You said it. I just.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, who kills Dobby?
Who kills Dobby? Bellatrix.
Okay, that was easy.
Yeah.
That's actually my question, but here's the better second question. What name does Buckbeak get after being saved from execution?
Witherwings.
Oh, what? You cheater.
Cheater? What are you talking about?
You really knew that from the...
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I have to... Wait. No. We can't end it like this. We cannot end
Oh,
like
why? But it's called the gum, right?
We so, have a bonus so, question. Ding, so, ding, ding, ding. So,
whenever I get two right now, you get the tough one now.
Okay. During his first visit with Tom Riddle, what does Dumbledore have Tom take out of his wardrobe at the orphanage?
Items he stole, right? From people.
You're too good.
Right? Yes.
Well, So it says a box of stuff he stole from other children.
That's exactly what I said.
But it doesn't say what the box contains, the answer on here. Yeah. I don't remember. Do you remember what the box contains?
Nope.
Me neither.
Yeah, we'll have to go check. Just little things, little mementos, little tokens. So
okay, next time will be harder, promise.
Okay.
But you're actually pretty excited that's over. Hey.
Yeah, I'm very excited, yeah.
Okay, let's learn something about magical creatures in our weekly Magizoology lesson.
What, you rescue these creatures?
Yes, that's right. Rescue, nurture, and protect them. I'm gently trying to educate my fellow wizards about them. Come on.
This week, we will get ready for the chapter in the burrow, and therefore we want to talk about the gnome. The mom classification, I always think it's neat that it's called mom, because it's MOM, Ministry of Magic. Classification is XX, which means harmless, or maybe domesticated. Which I'm wondering, like, they're not, I mean, as we see in the next chapter, they're not as harmless. They have sharp teeth and they bite hairy. But again, wizards might not think that be super harmful since they're not venomous, and like little bites and scratches like that is probably pretty easy to cure with your wand. All right, the entry in the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them book. The gnome is a common garden pest found throughout Northern Europe and North America. It may reach a foot in height with a disproportionately large head and hard bony feet. The gnome can be expelled from the garden by swinging it in circles until dizzy and then dropping it over the garden wall. Alternatively, a jarvey may be used, though many wizards nowadays find this method of gnome control too brutal. See, that is nice that they at least just hurt them a little bit instead of like getting rid of them through a jarvey who probably eats them, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And interesting, the gnome even talks a little bit, even though they're not very intelligent. We learned that. They are capable of human speech a little bit. I wonder if they do have any magical powers. It doesn't really say, but it's the funniest thing when you, in the computer games, when you had to get rid of them, you just make them dizzy and confused, and that's how they, and then they retreat. That's all.
Yeah.
And I think that's still okay. And they're just funny creatures. And I love the comparison to a big potato. They just look like a big potato. And I wonder though, like, it never really says what they exactly do in your garden. Do they steal your food, you think?
Well, or they're like a pest. I mean, like groundhogs, for example, I think of them in farmers' fields or in their garden or whatever. And they just dig and sort of burrow holes, and they can kind of you know, destroy your crops accidentally, and they probably do eat some of them as well. And so that's they're kind of more like a pest, right? That just needs to be removed. And
yeah, like a what are the little fellows here? And sometimes they get into the garden. They have like stripes on their face.
Raccoons.
Raccoons.
Okay, raccoon. Yeah.
And they're a pest because they go through your trash and sometimes they end up in your car or something like that, right? Because it's warm in there and weird stuff like that. And I know we had one a couple weeks ago, and your dad, he just builds like a little trap, and then when they're trapped in there, he just drives them somewhere where there's no houses
relocates
them in the, I don't know, foresty area, which is very nice.
Well, or if it's like a groundhog, for example, digging under the foundation of your house.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. Yeah.
That's sort of what happened around here. And so then it was like, okay, we're cool with holes, just not right here. Like,
yeah,
this is our house. Sorry. just over there in the field, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, there was actually a nice little shed over there that you could dig underneath there, and we were totally cool with
it. Yeah.
Just the house was kind of.
Right. You know, and it's funny because. I know this is not in this chapter, but the burrow chapter, but I remember Harry just looks out the window one night and he just sees the trolls, I was going to say trolls, the gnomes, he just sees them sneak back into the garden.
Yeah.
So they didn't stay very confused for a long time, but
right.
It's also, I know this is, again, not this chapter, but it's also very funny when they say, yeah, they're not the smartest because whenever they know that the denoming is going on, they come out and want to see it. And
they walk out.
What's going on? They just forget what happened last time, which is hilarious. Yeah. So, all right. Would you want to? Yeah, that's kind of a tricky question. Not tricky, but like a pretty easy to answer. Would you want to have one or befriend one?
I wouldn't mind seeing them out in the wild, you know, out doing their own thing. But I feel like if I plant a garden, you know, I want my crops.
And yeah.
I don't know. If they want to, you know, negotiate some trade. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you need some, like, gnome saliva is good in potions and spells. So maybe you negotiate a trade for a carrot or two. And
you totally made that up, didn't you?
I think that's real. I think
Actually.
Yeah, I think gnome saliva is. I'll check it out here real quick. Gnome saliva in Harry Potter. But anyways, I'm not so sure that I would want.
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting that it said they may be domesticated. What would you domesticate them for?
Really?
Like, yeah. I wonder if there's some people who... I mean, there is people who have...
Here we go.
Yeah.
Famous gnome saliva is... it's very beneficial. Luna, right? My love, if you should feel any... Let's see. So perhaps you could urge... Wait, see, perhaps an urge to sing opera or to declaim. What is he talking about here? This is Zeno. Get out of here.
Xenophilia's lost.
He's going
good.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What is he talking about? He's just talking about gnome saliva being beneficial. That's all. Sorry.
Oh, that is crazy that you remember that. I had no idea.
Yeah, according to him, gnome saliva was enormously beneficial and a gift by the gnomes, as he believed that people bitten by them could have the feeling of, you know, talents that are sprouting up in them. So it's almost like it was some magical thing. Now, maybe that was just him making something up for his daughter, but who knows? She was prone to those gnome pricks on her finger. So
I wonder, that is cool that you remember that. I wonder if gnomes sometimes sneak over to Muggle gardens and yards and they destroy Aunt Petunia's grass.
Oh, what?
And that she thinks that they're moles or other Muggle
pests.
That's
what, yeah, maybe that's what they are. Maybe we're all kind of, we have, you see those mole holes out there, and it's actually gnomes.
Digging holes. Yep.
Yeah, who knows?
Anyway, so let's go as almost every book starts with the Dursleys. We're back at Privet Drive, and we have the worst birthday of our lives.
Yeah.
As Harry.
Seems like that happens. It's a recurring theme throughout the series.
I mean, yeah, it's the problem that his birthday is always during the break, and he never gets to celebrate his birthday with his actual friends.
Yeah, it's a bummer. And they're not even writing to him, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, we'll find out. Okay. Do you want me to read the story?
I can read it. Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. Is this both chapters?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. So the worst birthday and Dobby's warning. Harry Potter is probably one of the only kids who dreads the summer holiday for a good reason. For a few weeks every year, he has to go back to a muggle town called Little Whinging and live with his aunt, uncle, and cousin, who all treat him like a dog that had rolled in something smelly. While the Dursleys ignore Harry's birthday completely this year and instead prepare for Vernon's upcoming business dinner with the Masons, Harry has to deal with a furious Hedwig, who is not allowed to be out of her cage. He also can't get any homework done because Uncle Vernon locked all the school stuff away, and on top of that, Harry's best friends, Ron and Hermione, have not sent him a single letter so far. Harry feels hungry, isolated, and depressed. When the dinner party is about to start, the Dursleys hush Harry upstairs, and he is instructed to remain quiet and pretend he doesn't exist. Harry does as he is told, but when he enters his room, a strange creature is already waiting on his bed. Dobby the house elf came to warn Harry not to go back to Hogwarts. Something extremely dangerous and even life-threatening supposedly awaits him there. Dobby has heard about a plot to make terrible things happen at the school. Harry is perplexed, but politely explains to the elf that he cannot stay here and that Hogwarts is his home. Dobby is so concerned about Harry's safety that he sees no other way than getting the young wizard in so much trouble that he would be denied to go back to school. The next moment, Dobby is already downstairs hovering Aunt Petunia's dessert through the air and finally drops the entire cake on Mrs. Mason's head. And there goes the Dursley's vacation home in Majorca, as well as Harry's human right to move around freely outside of his bedroom. It is indeed the worst birthday ever. At least, Harry found out that his friends didn't abandon him at all, but that Dobby stopped their letters from coming in. Yet life at Privet Drive has reached an all-time low. With a rumbling stomach, Harry falls into an uneasy sleep. After a while, however, he opens his eyes back up. He can see bright moonlight shining through the window, as well as his best friend's eyes goggling through the bars. Ron has come for Harry's rescue. Is that both chapters?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Kind of feels like one chapter.
I know, that's why we wanted to combine them, because the first one is more like a recap of who's Harry, who are the Dursleys, what's Hogwarts, who are his friends. You know, we get a little overview what happened, not really what happened in detail in the first book, but who are we looking at here, who's the main character and who are his friends who don't seem to write to him, and again how terrible the Dursleys treat Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed this out in our chapter 3 when Mr. Dursley, Vernon Dursley, Ron and his brothers try to rescue Harry, and they don't wake Dursley up with all the stuff that's going on upstairs, with removing the bars, getting the trunk out of the cupboard under the stairs. It's all fine. Dursley's just coughing a little bit and has an uneasy sleep. But when Hedwig is making noises, when that owl is screeching again, Dursley is awake in a matter of seconds. And we get that in the first couple of words of this chapter, The Worst Birthday. Not for the first time, an argument had broken out over a breakfast at number 4 Privet Drive. Mr. Vernon Dursley had been woken in the early hours of the morning by a loud hooting noise from his nephew Harry's room. This is the third time this week, he roared across the table. If you can't control that owl, it'll have to go. Harry tried yet again to explain. She's bored, he said. She's used to flying around outside. If I could just let her out at night. Do you think I'm stupid? Okay. So.
Is that how he sounds?
No, I'm sure he sounds different.
I kind of think he does. I think he gets a little high pitch in there and he's a little upset. And he gets really upset. Vernon goes high pitch.
But it's terrible how Hedwig is a little, you know, symbolizes Harry's capture just locked in there.
Yeah.
They won't let him out, really. Yes. I mean, they kind of will, but they hate to talk about Harry to the neighbors. They just kind of accept him that he's around, but not more than that. And Vernon completely ignores the needs of that bird. 'Cause I used to have a pet bird, and you have to let them out. Even though they can't fly like outside, 'cause, you know, they would just fly away. You just let them fly inside the house.
Yeah.
And make sure all the windows are shut, no one's opening the door so they can't get out. But they still have the ability to fly around and spread their wings and fly. And a big bird like Hedwig, we see in the movie, if that's actually her cage, she can't even spread out her wings. It's so small. Like, it actually, it's like, imagine you're standing up and you have like a box or a tube around you. I don't know, like a, not even a couple of inches space in between. So you can't even stretch out your arms. That's how Hedwig feels for weeks.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So I feel for her, like.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, that's not good. And that's why, you know, she's making all the noises she's making. She wants out, and Harry even says that. So, yeah, if really, I mean, and what's it matter if he writes to his friends or not, you know? Why does Vernon care that much? It's kind of ridiculous. Well, maybe he doesn't want the owl sort of swooping in and out and them looking kind of odd because an owl keeps coming out of this boy's window.
Yeah.
That might be the case. But, like, you know, arrange something for it to, you know, fly out of the backyard at, you know, walk it outside instead of letting it out the window. Things could have been done. Vernon could have handled this differently, but he doesn't.
No.
And so there's that. The other big thing is that the Harry Potter's birthday for them last year was so bad. It was the worst experience they had ever had in their lives. That for them, they don't even want to acknowledge and they don't want to even think about it. Dudley's the only one who's sneaking around thinking, I know what day it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's your birthday.
Yeah, and he rubs it in.
Yeah, so, but that's okay because Harry equally rubs in the fact that if you're going to say something like that, you need to use the magic word. Or if you want something passed across the table, you need to use the magic word as well.
He used the M word.
Yeah, he used the M word. We all have from time to time, but it's more acceptable in some houses than others. And it's not acceptable in Vernon Dursley's house.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah, for sure. So, anyways, he's up there, you know, supposed to be up there making no noise is this whole thing. So we have the big setup here is that this is a really important day. And and Harry thinks for a hot second, whoa, wait, are they going to acknowledge it? No. This is the Masons. The Masons are coming over, and they do a great job, actually. I think the book to movie comparison here is pretty spot
pretty
on.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
True.
So, you know, you get more conversation with Dobby and everything, but anyways, there's this, you know, we're setting the scene here, Mr. Mason showing up, and then everyone has their role. Everyone is going to act as normal as possible. There's no way you can even make Harry, I mean, what they should have done was send him to Mrs. Fig.
I know, right?
There's just
Why
no
they do that?
Reason he should even be allowed to be near this. This is crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of mistakes, I think, Uncle Vernon is learning here. Like, you know, I mean, it's if it's this important, my goodness, like, let him go to the park or something. But he was so mad about last year and just the fact that he's been dealing with this for a whole year. And I feel like he's taking out all of his frustrations or whatever on Harry. And maybe he does think that this vacation home that he was going to get in where is he going to be at? In
Mallorca. That's a pretty famous or popular island that, especially Germans and British people, that's a vacation spot where they go to. It's in Spain. Spanish island. And you can meet, like, I think they did a documentary, and you can go down the roads and you can hear, even though it's in Spain, you can hear so many people speaking German.
Really?
Or English, because there's so many British and German people going there on their vacation.
Wow, I like that. Looks cool. We should go
there
sometime.
It's pretty, yeah. I've been there with my grandparents. They took me and my cousin. I have a younger cousin and an older cousin. And my older cousin got to go with my older brother together. So they took them on a trip. And then 2 years later, they took my younger cousin and me on a trip to Mallorca.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
So I think there's not many people that I know that have not been there.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. It's like it's such a typical place to go.
A big vacation spot.
Almost like Florida for you guys, you know.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Well, so anyways, I mean, you know, I wonder if he thought, hey, maybe Vernon was thinking, if we move out of the country, right, then technically we're outside of Hogwarts.
Would he have gone?
He would have had to switch schools.
To a Spanish wizarding school?
Maybe.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
I would be crazy. I would
think
somewhere.
Had Dobby not showed up,
he
would have never gone back to Hogwarts, but he would have
vacation home. They would have messed up the whole thing. You know, it's wild. Maybe.
But I think a vacation home means it's just your second summer house. Or
right. I know. So yeah. And they probably couldn't
get it. They would not have moved there because, I mean, Vernon would have still worked with the drill company.
Right.
So.
Dudley would have had to move schools too. So.
No. Can't let that happen. Gesundheit.
Whew.
But yeah, what do you think? Like, I mean, we still see that Vernon is pretty successful at his job. And it's shocking because he loves, like, it seems like you have to be a little tyrant to make good numbers, good sales number. I don't know. Is that the message here? Because he seems to be pretty successful at what he does. I mean, they have a really nice house. They have a car. They're living a good life. They can go on vacations. And they all do that on just his income. Because mm-hmm. Aunt Petunia is a stay-home wife, stay-home mom.
Yeah, yeah.
So he seems to be pretty good at what he does.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely working in probably, like, I mean, again, the construction, building sector, energy sector a little bit maybe. So he's probably got a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know? That's crazy to think about. Maybe he was really saving up big time for them to have that second vacation home. He's really looking at this deal being the one that propels him forward in his career.
It's what they're building bridges, right? Mason is like a... I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was, but... yeah, they're going to...
He's... Talking about the part he'd been talking about. Some rich builder and his wife were coming to dinner, and Uncle Vernon was hoping to get a huge order from him. Just rich builder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just what? Yeah.
You know why I thought about bridges? Uh-uh. Because I think in the audiobook I heard him say some bridge builder instead of rich builder.
Oh.
I was like, oh, they're building bridges and they're buying drills. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
No, I guess they're like, I don't know, there's probably some deals where when they have a deal with that company, they only use their drills to build it. I don't know.
Yep. He's securing the contract. Yeah. So that way they place the orders. But yeah. Yeah, for sure. And he's got all these jokes. You know, he's got the, I mean, some of them are ridiculous. Like, you don't know what they are, but you can tell that the premise and what he's talking about is a little bit, they're rude, you know? It's a little bit rude humor. But, who knows? But
we learned that
humor itself could be kind of...
Yeah, we learned that Vernon is a... I mean, he seems to be into golfing, you know? Like...
Yeah.
Because we see Petunia when she talks to Mr. Mason. Vernon tells me... You know, she pretends here in this situation. Vernon tells me, you're a wonderful golfer, Mr. Mason. So we assume that they have been golfing together or,
right.
And then the joke, I think, is the Japanese golfer joke the joke that he can't end because of Harry's noise or the noise that Dobby makes. Basically in the first chapter, it's pretty short and pretty much like we just, again, are reminded how awful the Dursleys treat Harry.
But can we also were reminded though about how brilliant Dudley is, right? Because
when they go to Dudley, acting? I mean,
how about we had to write an essay about our hero at school, Mr. Mason, and I wrote about you, and Aunt Petunia goes to tears.
Oh my god, that was hilarious.
Tears. But I mean, hey, I like he was really picking up on what his father was putting down. He's like, you know, we gotta talk these guys up. This means more toys. I mean, he was seeing the other side of that, which is like vacation home. All right, cool, but also more presents.
Yeah, more video games.
Yeah,
new bike.
He knew what was at stake.
Yeah, so. Spoiled little brat.
And you know what's interesting too? So this whole bit about like where is Harry supposed to be found in chapter one? As you say, it's just a recap. This will maybe be one of our last points before we dive into the chapter two. But Harry's supposed to be upstairs pretending that he doesn't exist. And that's the whole thing. They really want him to do that all the time, quite frankly.
That would be like
ideal.
Their dream.
Yeah,
ideal.
For them, which is nuts and awful. But yeah. So.
Again, every time we read a chapter about the Dursleys, I just so wonder how their life could have improved by treating Harry with love and, you know, seeing him as a second son.
Mm-hmm.
I think like their stress levels and I mean, being full of, you know, being despiteful and hateful is stressful for your body and mind. Sorry, but it is. And
yeah.
They stress out about, oh, hopefully no one sees Harry and hopefully he doesn't make a noise and hopefully they don't find out he's weird. If It would be, I mean, their life would be so much easier if they just get along with Harry and love him. And if they just tell him, hey, this is really, really important. And we can't have you do anything that's weird or funny, because they will just be scared of it or don't mm-hmm. understand it. And if he was on good terms with them, he would be like, okay, I'll just, you know, go like play outside with Dudley, play a little bit of baseball or.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like their life would be so much easier too.
Yeah, they made it a lot worse for sure. Yeah. One more thing I think is interesting, and this is just something probably more about me than it is this sort of little my connection to the text. After Harry does like the whole thing with, I mean, he sees the green eyes in the hedge, and we know that's going to be Dobby later on.
Yeah.
But Dudley, you know, is messing around. He says the magic word. We got a little dust up in here in the cottage. Anyway, we do get this bit where he, you know, he's told to do a bunch of chores, and he's told mm-hmm. to kind of go and you know, clean. He said he had to clean the windows, he had to wash the car, mow the lawn, trim the flower bed,
oh, yeah. prune,
water the roses, repaint the garden bench. The sun was blazing overhead, and I'm thinking, like, that sounds like, sounds terrible. I like being outside, and I like the idea of mowing the grass. So instantly, I was like, count me in.
Yeah, but he doesn't know he has to do that before he gets his dinner. Like,
right,
he has no food,
right.
No
okay.
food, and it's okay. hours of work.
Wow, okay. Way to steal my thunder there.
I mean, it's all a build-up to the next chapter when we meet Dobby, who's also treated poorly, who has to do all that kind of stuff. He's like a slave, mm-hmm. like an enslaved creature, because he doesn't get paid for his work.
Yeah.
And he gets treated poorly. And the buildup is Harry knows exactly what that feels like. And that's why he treats him with kindness and compassion. And, hey, Dobby, sit down for a second. And Dobby's like, can't believe a wizard is talking to him like that, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's all about, like, we see three creatures being so poorly treated in this in those two chapters. It's Hedwig, it's Harry, and it's Dobby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they... I mean, had they all been treated with more kindness, you know, or more being given what they really need, like, the world would be a better place. Sorry, I don't know where I'm going with this, but
it would be.
I just feel bad for all of them at this moment, but we'll learn why Dobby came, and he had a good reason for that.
I just want to clear the air, though. Yeah. I was trying to say in a humorous way
mm-hmm.
that my weekend in the future that I look forward to is which I wash the car, mow the lawn, maybe trim the hedges a little bit, bounce around outside, you know, that kind of stuff. Now, hopefully I've been fed before that.
Well, I was going to say, I'll bring you cold drinks.
Okay.
You know.
See, that's the, it's all, this was forced. See, it's all about how you come at these chores and that kind of thing. Because to me, that's like, I'm looking forward to that. I want to tend the garden and stuff like that. So, but for a kid, you know, that's not, those are chores.
No,
those are chores.
Yeah.
But definitely, I love mowing the yard. Anyway. So that's basically it. There's the whole, you know, where he runs upstairs and then he turns around and then boom.
He was going to be quiet. He was.
He
wasn't planning on sabotaging his uncle here. But when he enters his room, a strange creature he's never seen. He's never met a house elf before, so he doesn't know what Dobby is.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he's probably not as surprised anymore, because he is part of the wizarding world and he knows that there is things that really he didn't expect
mm-hmm.
that just come up all the time. But he probably least expects it in the Dursley's house, which is the most unmagical house you could ever imagine.
Right.
But anyway, he is surprised. And Dobby, whatever Dobby says, he knows he's not supposed to do it. He can't technically do it without punishing himself.
Yeah.
Because what he's doing here is he is not obeying his master, who is Malfoy,
mm-hmm.
Lucius Malfoy and the Malfoys.
Yep.
But something, and there's another parallel between Dobby and Harry. They both have been mistreated by their families so badly, and they could have turned out way worse.
True.
But they're both good people, or good creatures, good mm-hmm. spirits, mm-hmm. I want to say.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, where Dobby got that urge to say, I have to save this boy. You know, he's never met him. Is it because Draco keeps talking about him?
Probably, because that's for sure. We find that out in the next few chapters, is that Draco's constantly going on about Harry all the time. And basically
he's
his
obsessed.
Father's like, yeah, I've heard this 100 times. You know, okay, enough's enough. And so that's been brewing over the summer. Dobby's been hearing it all as well, because Matt, you know, his Draco comes back home and has this whole experience.
Yeah.
Dobby knows, being a part of the wizarding world, that Harry Potter, the boy who lived, defeats Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
I would even say, too, that he gives Dobby some hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Dobby seems to be, again, like you said, a good spirit, and hears about all the plotting, has probably heard about all the plotting, all the things that Lucius and his family has said. He had no choice, really, in the family that he got to serve, or that he is serving. So that's,
I wonder how he overheard the conversation about the plot, though. Who did Lucius talk to about the diary and the Chamber of Secrets?
Yeah, you good know? Call. Yeah, I don't know.
How did Dobby... Because he's heard about the plot all summer. That's why he comes and warns Harry that there is something terrible going to happen at Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, not only Harry, but the Mudbloods. It's what they call them, the Muggleborns. The Muggleborns are in way more danger at this moment than Harry, right?
Yeah.
I wonder why Dobby... Harry is the chosen one and probably thought that the basilisk or whatever is in the monster of the chamber was going to go after Harry.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would have been more important to warn to go to Dumbledore, maybe. the headmaster.
True, you know? He didn't really think
and
that.
And why didn't Harry think about that? Why didn't Harry think like, oh, maybe I shall tell Dumbledore that this happened.
Well, and then so you find out, right in it, what was it, either the third or fourth chapter, where they think it's a joke, a prank.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be why. Because maybe it's just like Ron says, Malfoy, he probably, because they actually get it right.
Yeah.
They think that it's Malfoy who sent Dobby as a prank.
Yeah.
And it's really not, it's actually, Dobby comes on his own. But they're right about whose house he belongs to. Yeah.
Which is crazy,
That definitely should have been reported. And there's actually a couple times in this book where Harry should go to Dumbledore and he doesn't. So.
A lot of times, yes.
But yeah.
Dobby
needs to have a seat. Harry says to him, take a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Never, sir. Never has a wizard asked Dobby to take a seat.
You have a pretty good Dobby
voice. Was
that
okay?
Yes. Really?
That's crazy.
And I also wonder, I remember when we read this, I turned to you and I asked, wow, because Dobby says when Harry speaks about Dumbledore and, you know, well, he thinks that there's no chance of making horrible things happen at Hogwarts because Dumbledore's around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dobby bowed his head and says, Albus Dumbledore is the greatest headmaster Hogwarts has ever had. Dobby knows it, sir. Dobby has heard Dumbledore's power rival those of he who must not be named at the height of his strength.
Mm-hmm.
So again, makes me wonder all that Dobby hears in his household is how awful Dumbledore is and how awful he is, what awful kind of headmaster he is, and that he should, you know, they definitely have a different idea of how a school should be run. So how come that Dobby knows that Dumbledore is actually a great man if all he hears in his house is the opposite? Makes me wonder if Dobby has other contacts or other elves maybe from other houses that he couldn't talk to. I wonder.
Yeah. It could also be this interpretation, which I really like this a lot, which is if you are in an environment where you're hearing nothing but negative things about this person who's actually truly good, that really the truth wins out. And that even though you've been fed lies and you've been told the wrong thing, yeah, that could distort your opinion of who this person is or whatever. But since Dumbledore truly is the best headmaster and is the most powerful and is truly good, that shines through. So any exposure Dobby might have had to, because he does go out into the world with them. Like he goes, you know, Winky does that later on. Like they'll travel with their masters, if you will, and they'll move around the wizarding world. And the paper is there. Dobby can pick up that paper down in the Daily Prophet and read through it. So it's exposed to different things. And it makes me think that as he reads and learns more about Dumbledore, he's saying, you know, actually, he's really good. The other thing, too, is that Dobby is so mistreated by the people, like these people, mm-hmm. that he might just take the opposite opinion of theirs.
Yeah.
Just to kind of be like, whoever they don't like, I like.
Yeah, because
they're pretty evil and mean to me.
Yeah, their idea of how to treat people, I must say, or creatures is pretty messed up. So
yeah,
probably all of their ideas are a little messed up.
Right, and just to be clear, I don't actually the second opinion I gave there about Dobby mm-hmm. just sort of wanting to do the opposite of his masters because they're evil and mean. He's actually smarter than that, though. I think Dobby mm-hmm. is very much an intelligent house elf, and he knows how to he can discern that Albus Dumbledore is legit.
Do you think Jar Jar Binks is intelligent?
He speaks.
Well. Does Dobby remind you a little bit of Jar Jar Binks?
Yeah, kind of a silly, you know, created creature that's meant to kind of, yeah.
Because I mean, I do think Dobby is intelligent, but the things he does to help sometimes make the matter worse. And isn't that what sometimes happens to Jar Jar Binks?
Jar Jar, yeah. They're trying to help, and then they end up kind of, like, they have the best intentions, and they stumble around and don't always get there. Although Dobby's a way better version than Jar Jar Binks.
Okay.
Because Dobby actually has great powers.
He does.
He can.
I mean, later on, like in this chapter, I think we're all wondering whether we should like Dobby or not.
Yeah, because he.
But then later on, we learn about him and what he does and his sacrifice. Oh my goodness.
Well, because Harry will say, "Yeah, hey, don't try to save my life again. Appreciate you, but don't ever try to save my life again." And really, it's a joke. Thankfully, Dobby doesn't listen.
Yeah, true.
And he ends up saving Harry's life.
But what do you think of this incident when he tries to save Harry from going to school? And
I think he really thinks so. First of all, let's analyze what Dobby mm-hmm. says. He's very worried about people dying. People were petrified, and they very well could have died.
True.
They're lucky that they saw it through a reflection in the basilisk.
Every time.
And Jenny almost does die, right? Flat out. And that was meant that could have been Harry. And actually, if Fox doesn't show up or whatever, then, I mean, you know, and the sort of Gryffindor and the Sorting Hat and all that kind of stuff, Harry dies. Jenny dies. I mean, it's just like he was right there. The trap's well laid.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, yeah. Dobby wanted to avoid all of that. So you can see he does know that this is a pretty serious threat, and you can see how close Harry comes to almost dying. Mm-hmm. So would you be willing to sort of risk, like, this is what he sees as the only way to handle it. Like you said, instead of making a trip to Harry Potter, he should have made a trip to Dumbledore.
Yes. Yeah.
That's probably his biggest thing.
Yeah.
And
because it's not just about Harry. And I think he must have overheard that too, that it's about cleansing the school mm-hmm. from Muggleborns.
Yeah.
That's what this was all about. I mean, ultimately, if we can attack Harry Potter, great. That would be awesome. But he's technically not a Muggleborn.
I sense a shortcoming, and we should put this in the doc, which is, should Dobby have went to Dumbledore instead of Harry?
Yeah.
I think the answer is easy. Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So they have this chapter is full of, though, just the big back and forth in terms of, like, him realizing how awesome and how honorable Harry Potter is, and that he's too great, he's too good to lose, right? If Harry Potter goes back to Hogwarts, he will be in mortal danger.
Yeah.
There's a plot. He can't even say a most to make most terrible things happen at Hogwarts, he whispers. Dobby has known it for months, sir. Harry mm-hmm. Potter must not put himself in peril. He is too important, sir. I mean, so he knows.
What does Dobby know?
Dobby knows things. He knows things. And we get, again, he probably also knows what he says earlier. Dobby says that Harry Potter faced He Who Must Not Be Named once again and defeated him. Yeah. And he probably also knows that that's not the end of it. There's more to come, yeah. Right? It's been talked about in Malfoy Manor. So, yeah.
It's wild, like, how important Dobby is to the whole
right.
Story.
It's actually really, when you come back as an adult and you analyze it and you look at all these different things, mm-hmm. like, it is meant to be a silly, misunderstood kind of, who is this? What is going on?
Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah, because we have
it's
no
so
idea.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That makes you kind of go, what? And this is wild. Who is? And it creates a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Dobby? Who sent Dobby?
Yeah.
Why? What's going to happen? And then things start to happen. Oh, we got to think back to what Dobby said, you know?
Did you believe, because this whole book is a mystery about who's the heir, right? And we think, could it be Draco? Could it be
actually Harry?
Yeah, time you read it, you thought it was going to be Harry.
Speaking in parcel tongue, I for sure did. I thought, wow, you talking to snakes.
Yep.
It's you.
That would have been an interesting plot if Harry was actually an heir. I mean, technically, I'm trying to think back because isn't he distantly related
to the Peverils?
Peverils. But they're not related to Salazar Slytherin. But I mean, they said the old wizarding families are somehow all related.
So it says Harry is very distantly related to Salazar Slytherin.
He is?
But is not a descendant of him.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
As
not
Voldemort
a direct descendant.
Is descended from Slytherin and the second Peverell brother,
while
Harry is descended of the third Peverell brother.
Okay.
Interesting.
Right? I mean, super interesting because that still makes... Yeah, still he is related to... Mm-hmm. Slytherin and would have made him a candidate to. I wonder if he got his ability to speak parcel tongue through Voldemort, through the connection with Voldemort, but I mean he could have inherited it on his like just on his own through his blood, through his genes, I think.
Yeah, interesting. There's a lot of cool stuff, too, if you go look at the founders and you look at all these different things and who the descendants are from the founders and all that kind of stuff and how close was Godric Gryffindor with Salazar Slytherin and all those different things. The Gaunt family and how they were descended from Salazar Slytherin, which will come up in later books.
Yes.
But it's neat. It's neat to kind of look at, and it all kind of starts churning right now in this book.
I have a very, very urgent question, though, for you.
Yes.
What did Mr. and Mrs. Mason think when they left the house of the Dursleys?
They probably thought, here's the thing. They probably already thought they were super crazy. But I wonder, here's the mind boggler. What if they drove by back the next day just to sort of say, hey, guys, what was that all about? Or to come back and just to check in or to maybe say one more mean, nasty thing or something or who knows, right? Or to return something and they see the bars on Harry's window.
Oh.
They probably would have been like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just from the Mason's perspective, like, whoa.
Again, and the more the Dursleys attempt to be normal in Harry's presence, the crazier they seem. From the outside, right? The crazier it looks from the outside. I mean, what did the neighbors think of the bars?
That they'd lost it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, a rumor will grow in Little Whinging that there's a problem in their house.
Definitely.
Right?
I mean, the rumor's already there. They already came up with the rumor themselves that he's going to a school for difficult cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's just, wild that they would continue with their story rather than accept the truth and just, take Harry in for a few weeks and be okay with him.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have to love up on him. Just they like how they love and love up on Dudley, but they can make him feel at home and treat him nicely and give him some food. They clearly have enough money to feed that boy.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But it's more about, he doesn't get what he wants because he's a wizard and he chooses. They feel like they would have given him the choice not to live in the wizarding world and live as a normal person, in their eyes normal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and he refused.
Right.
He said, I'm
going
to go there because
Yeah. You know what's interesting is that, and I think Dumbledore tries to do this with the Dursleys, is that, like, I know that they're bad and they do terrible things and you come in, but you could, another approach would be to kind of come in and, well, the phrase is don't take it literally, but to kill them with kindness, you know, to come in and sort of say, hey, we're going to just be kind regardless. Hagrid doesn't, you know, do that.
No, it's, no one does.
No one does, except for Dumbledore a little bit maybe, but there's still some, you know, that's related to Petunia and who knows what all is exactly said there, but...
Yeah,
I just feel like there's a different approach that could have been taken, even though there's tons of evidence that they were really mean and nasty. There's a way to turn them around and get them to understand and try to educate and move them forward and help versus agitate them as much as possible and then put them in a position where they're like leaving Harry out to dry or like not taking their role as guardians serious.
Yeah. Still, and by no means are we saying it's okay to put, you know, it's an excuse to put bars on, you know, on top of or
all you
in front
have to
of
do,
his window.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm talking about all you have to do is come in and very firmly say, now, Dursley, this isn't right, but come on. Yeah. I want to show you something. I want to show you something about the Wizarding World. You guys need to, you know what I mean? Like an Aunt Petunia, some sort of like acknowledgement about their suffering and who they are and where they're at. And not an excuse, but like, let's talk about it. And then try to come with me.
Yes. You know, all we're saying is what the Dursleys did, absolutely wrong. No excuses for that. But at the same time, could the wizards and witches who were involved done a better job at, like, you know,
just being a bit
talking
more
to them and being more...
It reinforces every reaction that they've ever had with the Wizarding World is that they're mean, bad, and awful, et cetera, blank, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so it just never really... And again, that's sort of their own fault. I get that and everything, but...
Well, there is a theory, and make sure to listen to next week's episode.
Oh my, this is
because
great.
Because Travis, our guest host next week, he talked about an interesting theory why the Dursleys behave the way they behave. Mm-hmm. Or why that behavior that might already been there has
is
been...
so inflamed.
Yes.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty much it for this chapter. And I love how his... I think I remember as a kid, I loved when Ron and his brothers came with the Fort Anglia with a flying car and rescued. Mm-hmm. I just thought they were the coolest and the best. And, you know, you feel with Harry, you're cooped up in there, I mean, they don't feed him. They feed him like a cold soup for dinner, which is nothing, especially for a growing kid. It's awful.
Oh, yeah.
And then his best friend, technically he doesn't use magic, but he comes in a flying car with his two mischievous brothers, and they get him out of there, and they fly off, and, you know, that's next chapter. But he can feel the wind in his hair, and Hedwig gets to fly, and... next to the car, and it's awesome.
Yeah. For me, also, it's a really good feeling, too, because there's, like, two back-to-back chapters of just, like, okay, reminding us of all the terrible things that have gone on, and then this mystery, and then also, oh, something bad also happened, and then no letters, and you just really, I mean, you feel awful for them, and then, don't worry, mate, we're here to bust you out.
Yeah.
And it's great. So, and that's fun. We actually have two guests to kind of cover that with us. So, next week, we have our good friend Travis Sigler, right? He's going to be there. So, yeah. Which is awesome. Can't wait to hear all of that. But anything else on the chapter?
Mm-mm.
Think we're good? Okay. Well, friends, hey, appreciate you guys. Appreciate you listening to the first. So again, this is our initial just discussion on chapters 1 and 2. Fun, good. What am I even saying? I don't even know.
It's good and fun.
It's good and fun.
Good and fun.
And we're having fun, and we hope you're having fun too, and things are fun out there, so...
We're having so much fun. It's incredible. I'm really enjoying this.
We're having fun, Master Harry. Whatever he says. All right. Anyway, friends. All right. That's all. That's it. Time for me to shut up for this week. So thanks for joining us here on Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope you'll join us in the future. We thoroughly do enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons.
Baboons!
If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us that review, and follow on social media at Fleur and Bill.
Uh-huh. And if you truly like our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You will find all the links down below. Thank you so much for all our current patrons. We appreciate you to the moon and back. Next week, like Ez or Bill has said, we're going to have a very special guest with us to talk about Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, Chapter 3, The Burrow. None other than Travis Siegler himself from Weird Leather and Meadery will be with us next week. He has been friends with Ez and Lane through their Unexpected Podcast community for years, so Travis and his team make their own fantasy-themed mead in Portland, Oregon. And he's also a passionate cosplayer and podcast host and so much more. But he will tell you all about it himself next year. Next year.
Sometime next year. He'll tell you all about it.
I'm so sorry. Next week. But he can tell you all about it next week on our podcast. So can't wait to have him here at the cottage and talk Potter with him. Again, thanks for joining Blur's Book Club in the Little Shell Cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.